knowing who has an opportunity to win. What if he doesn't win? Too dang bad. You know, I'll win the next one. You know, you can't let that upset you. Went to the Kentucky Derby. I bet Pine Bluff in the Kentucky Derby. Little Lily T won it. Second horse. Hey, I got two guys, two of my students with me. They bet Lily T. And they knew I bet Pine Bluff. They bet Pine Bluff also. But I said, he's a better horse than Lily T. I don't give a dang if he did beat him. He's a better horse. I said, I don't give a dang. You take your old $30 horse. And you laugh. But I know why he lost. They don't know why he lost. He beat Lily T like a drum in the Arkansas Derby. And he swept real wide. He gets hung on the rail in the Kentucky Derby. I know this, so I'm waiting for the Preakness. They bet Lily T. And what was that other horse's name, that Angsy Court or whoever it was? Allie Deed, yeah, that's who it was. They bet those two. Who'd I bet? I bet Pine Bluff. And Allie Deed to run second. Said, how'd you know that Pine Bluff would beat Allie Deed? Because Allie Deed had to chase down the speed horse. And Pine Bluff is sitting on the outside where Pine Bluff wants to sit. And besides that, he don't have Craig Perrett on him. He's got Chris McCarron and Allie Deed, and he's got Perrett. I just threw that in because I didn't know it. But you know, these are things that you need to know and to learn and to find out. Is that trip handicapping? Well, maybe it's a matchup. I know day in and day out, any time that Pine Bluff runs Lily E.T., he'll outrun him. Day in and day out, that horse will outrun him. That's a match race. That's how the cowboys lost their saddles. My horse is faster than your horse. That's exactly how I approach a race. Say, what do you look for? I look for the fastest horse in the race. That becomes my favorite. These are horses that then you start to put into your computer. I'll teach the matchup. I'll go over it more. I'm here to help. Help you anytime that I possibly can. How many of you use the dial-a-hat service?
Boy, you ought to all use it. Keep it working.
Help you any way that I possibly can. I'll work with you. And I'll help you while I'm here. Yes?
Jim, before you quit, would you do one thing for us? Would you tell us what happened to the dog in the parlay?
Okay. The dog. Go ahead and to finish the story. Frank went back that night because the dogs were running. And he finds it, he looks it up to find out which dog he had. And the dog finished about sixth. Anytime I can help you.
Remember what I told you before. You're not Bradshaw. And you start betting one horse. Now, I was sitting next to Leroy, and here's where Bradshaw's got it made. He really does bet two horses because Leroy bets the other one. Leroy's sitting back there with a big... I had Lily T in the Derby. I got that $36. So she's got it coming and going. He's got his wife... she doesn't have that cowboy macho. She doesn't want to be able to narrow down just that one horse. She says, I'll bet the other one, Jimmy. And so they take home the money no matter which one wins. Jimmy is a rare individual. We can all aspire to have his mystical abilities to see that matchup. But I want to tell you something. I sat with Jimmy hour in and hour out in Oklahoma. I'm the only guy in the United States who goes to Oklahoma on a vacation on purpose. And I'd want something that is very difficult for a computer. God, I'm as obscene as you are, Jim. And he said, Hart, can't do that. Can't be done. I said, well, Jimmy, I'm needing a nap here. I get talking that way when I get down there. I'm needing a nap. So I go and I lie down, and about 10 minutes later, I'm son of sleep, and Jimmy walks up and says, Hart, I've done it. So this guy can, anything that can be conceived, Jimmy can compute for you. And really, the programs that he has done are the matchup. They are, why you look at the thing and says there is no number that gets that horse to do what it does. That's because of all I did was try to tap Bradshaw's tremendous insights. So when you get the program, if you can't duplicate what Jimmy can do, the program is designed to do it for you. But like he said, you can't just be putting in any old horse without evaluating it. We'll show you tomorrow and put in lots of pace lines and take weed out and get the right one from just looking at them in the programs. Dick Schmidt and Tom Hamilton will show you how you can do it in a very quick, down and dirty way with phase one to get contenders. Hey, if you can't get the contenders the ideal way, the Bradshaw way, find a way that you can get them. Any way you get them, any way you get the right pace line is okay with me. I don't care if you get them with the buyer numbers, if you get them with imagination, if you get them by picking them out of a hat, get them. And the programs will get you the winners. Tomorrow you're going to watch each one of these people do this in their own way. And it'll be a great session. Now, when we first started to be revealed to the public was in 1984 at Expo 84. Hey, Sam Wada's here. Thank God. We were worried about you. Thought you broke down or something.
Yeah, I was.
You what? You did? You broke down? That's Sam Wada, folks. He's our newest teaching member. We said some prayers for you and everything. Sam Wada has some similar characteristics to James Bradshaw. Sam Wada was in an American concentration camp when he was raised. We had concentration camps, folks. We called them men's and ours or whatever. This guy knows what it's like to be a true-blooded American, but because he had Asiatic features, he was raised in a concentration camp. He's never shown any sense of bitterness. He's always been a very humble and sweet and lovable guy, never any aggression. But he learned to suffer too, as did Marion Jones, as did Jimmy Bradshaw, who got kicked around for being an Indian because he didn't have indoor plumbing until he was in his teens. All these guys have suffered, and all of them now have risen above that and are winners. And I think something good about having suffered. But because he's Asiatic, he has some mystical quality, Sam Wada does, that the rest of us Occidentals, have to work very hard to achieve. Sam has made one deal. He will be my samurai, he says, but he will not make a speech. But he says, I will teach individuals in small groups. So if you want to get some rare insights into programs, into how to handicap, Sam's your man. So take advantage through this weekend of individually encountering any of these people. Find someone who appeals to you, someone whose technique and style and appeals to you, and use them. Use them, just like you'd use a doctor if you needed an appendectomy during this period. Just go to one of our doctors, and he'll lay out on the table and do it for you here for nothing. God help you. So use these people. Now, we released a program called Deceleration Pars. We told nobody what they did or what they were about. But I hearken back to our first exposure to the public was 1984. People were much more interested then in the concept of the methodology because it was brand new. They weren't like our clients of today who said, don't give me the concept, don't give me the theory, don't give me the stuff behind it, just give me the readout I'm supposed to pick, use to get the winner. We're all getting blasé. In those days, people loved, what is this? What's behind all this? What's the concept? And a lot of that seems to have diminished now. Tom Brohammer probably is as responsible for deceleration pars as anybody else, because Tom Brohammer is the past master at making and using pars, or alleged pars. But Tom Brohammer knows there's no such thing as a pace par. There is a final time par, because with one element of speed, horses do run to or around or deviations from pars. But when you get to pace pars, there's no such thing as a second call or a first fraction or a third fraction par, because it's the deviation from these pars that create winners, not running to par. And Brohammer recognized this, and he used a great deal of imagination in using the par concept. We knew that there had to be a better way, because everyone that we had met, everyone within the methodology and all the people outside of it, were using pars as if pars were inarguably something you had to have. They didn't know why they weren't winning with them. They weren't doing any good with them, but they had to have them because, hey, everybody says you got to have pars. So Tom inspired us to look at the whole thing from a different perspective. Does a horse win because of how fast it runs in a given period, or does it win because it decelerates the least? With pars, you have to have adjustments, because a horse might run 110 today and run 111 tomorrow, and they will attribute it to the surface or whatever. But horses will decelerate at a ratio that is traceable and measurable without any reference to being adjusted. Their deceleration ratio is a constant, whereas their velocity is not a constant. The horse that runs the slowest, and I don't mean slow horses like Jimmy's talking about, I mean the horse that runs more slowly because of whatever circumstance, will still decelerate in a similar ratio. So we developed deceleration pars. The two people who took that ball and ran with it were Sam Wada and Bruce Jorgensen. Tomorrow they will show you on our giant rear screen their two variations in two ways they use deceleration pars to get the race down to three horses and almost always have the winner, the place, and the show in the three or sometimes four horses. It produced amazing results for these people. Other people got the program. We gave it away free once here in Vegas, and they didn't know what to do with it. What do I do with it? I got very mad at me. He says, the only reason you're not telling us how to use it, you don't know how to use it yourself. Oh, is he mad? I said, oh, yes, I do. But I have found that when people take something and work with it themselves, that is Sam and Bruce Jorgensen, there's your trouble, Spencer, that wire right there. They come up with genius results because they struggle on their own and the thrill of discovery. Supposing Columbus, for instance, they said, you know, give him a motorboat and point right that way, and that's not India, that's the West Indies, Christopher. Would he have any fun? Would they write poems about him? Behind him lay the great Azores, before him those unknown, uncharted shores, you know? Yeah, he would have just been another Italian coming to New York. So it's that driving curiosity that let me conquer this unknown that set Sam and Bruce apart. Now, Bruce did a marvelous presentation, which he's going to do again tomorrow, of deceleration pars in Seattle. Bruce neglected to tell anybody what the nomenclature was. So he's getting up there and talking about DCV and MCFs and IPS and blah, 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 and getting all these initials, and guys are walking out in the hall thinking, this is the time for me to have my cigarette. I don't know what he's talking about. So, Bruce, where does that thing start? What page here? I will now define these terms. Then Bruce can tell you about his adventure. Well, Bruce has it. Boy. Somebody find out where they are, will you? This thing is so big, I don't know. We never produced a manual this many pages before.
You got to put the index page in there, Howard.
I got to get an index, don't we? I know what Sam Wattis is in here. I'll find here. Okay, here you go. We're going to talk about these phrases. You might want to write them down, although you get them all tomorrow, but so you'll know what he's talking about when he tells you what he did with them. Par median is merely the median par that's established by either what you put in as the pace of the race or the dream race. That's easy. DTE stands for dream race total energy. The numbers you see are the relationship of each horse in percentages to the dream race total energy, which would be 100. So if a horse has one of these has 98.9, he's that far off from the dream race total energy. Now we get into the funny ones that Bruce was throwing around up in Seattle that the people in the audience didn't understand what they were. EPP, that's the early pace par. This is the deceleration ratio of the horse between the first and second fraction. Now you find that the slower horses will decelerate the least, the faster horses will generally decelerate the most. What you're trying to find is the DTE, or all of these nomenclatures, that best fit winners by distance and class level at your track. So EPP is early pace par, which is the second fraction divided by the first. High is best, high is closest to the top. By dividing it that way, deceleration would normally be the low would be best, but because everybody's been trained to think of high as best, we changed the formula around so high is best. But it's still the deceleration ratio between the second and first fraction. HEP is hidden energy par. This is the relationship between the second and third fraction, the deceleration ratio between the third fraction and the second fraction. TDP is total deceleration par, which is the third fraction divided by the first fraction. That is how much the horse decelerates between his highest point of velocity in the first fraction and his lowest point of velocity in the third. Okay. Par medium is just par medium. That's relative to the median energy par. That's easy. EPP is the second fraction divided by the first. The deceleration ratio of those two fractions. Hidden energy par is pretty much, if you think these words through, you'll know what they mean if you understand the terminology. That's why we went over it this afternoon. Is what is the relationship between the two hidden energy fractions, the third and the second? How much do they decelerate between the turn time or second fraction and the final fraction? We caught up to that point? T total deceleration bar is the total deceleration from the point at which the horse ran its fastest, the first fraction, to when it slowed down the most in its third. That's called TDP. PMP is the relationship between the second call and the third fraction. Now we're going to have another one in there called PPP, which sounds a little vulgar, but that's the pressure par, which will be the relationship between the second fraction and the second call. We haven't got that in there yet. That'll be PP par, PPP, PP/P. Pressure par. That'll be showing the horse's pressing energy relative to where it is at the second call. Now we have corresponding velocities for these same compoundings. My son took all the races that were done by Bruce and Sam, and he added the miracle missing ingredient, which we didn't tell anybody about. You average the columns. You average velocity against deceleration. He did 500 races. Anybody like to guess where the winner appeared about 70% of the time in those 500 races? What rank did he have in his deceleration versus his velocity? No, who said that? You're a genius. And we've never met before, nothing up our sleeves. You're from Florida. How did you know that he would come in second? Right, and tell me, now you're so good, you're hot, you're on a roll. What horse most consistently placed had the highest consistency number?
What horse?
No, show horse. The show horse outdid the place horse. But the winner seldom was number one. Now, does that tell you something? Does that tell you why most of your mainstream systems don't get the winner? Does that tell you why these one-horse bettors, with the exception of the Bradshaws and the Brohammers, who've got some rare insights, why they're always saying, oh, geez, I got beaten out by that second horse? The horse that we pick second, or that the average handicapper, or even the best handicapper will pick first, usually is peaked. Take it from a pace line from which he is peaked and will not repeat, whereas the horse that looks second best in the numbers wins predominantly. So the reason Bradshaw can bet one horse is he bets the horse that we would perceive to be the second best horse in the race. And he knows it's the first best horse in the race because of the rare insights that only he has. And Brohammer will bet one horse once in a while, but he'll also cheat and sneak around and bet two horses. And I notice that when he has his wife there, they're always one of them's on one and one on the other. So if you want to be a one horse better, take your wife. Now, Sam Wada, Bruce is going to tell you how he did it. He actually establishes deceleration pars by class and distance to these tracks. He'll tell you how he does that. Sam Wada did it entirely different. Sam Wada used the dream race. He figured, quite honestly, that most people will not go to the trouble that Bruce is going to tell you how he went to establish deceleration pars. So Sam just used the dream race as a par, did not establish any par values by distance or class that he's tracked, and Sam got almost exactly the same win percentage. He got it down to three horses to the same degree that Bruce did. So if you don't want to do all the work that Bruce is going to discuss, I will try to, tomorrow, tell you Sam's way, and Sam can grunt and groan and make motions if I'm doing it right. So without further ado, now that you understand the terminology, I'm going to ask Bruce to start walking up here. And while he does so, let me tell you something. Andy Beyer was the craze of 1975 with speed ratings, and then they started saying Beyer figures, they still win races, but the mutuals are low. Phase 3, our initial velocity program was winning races in 1982, 1983, and then the mutuals started going down because everybody was using it, or some version of it. In order for us to keep getting higher mutuals, the kind that these fellas get, we've got to stay 5 years at least ahead of the people who are stealing our stuff. We've got to stay 5 years ahead of the pirates. And believe me, it's easy to be 5 years ahead of the public, but being 5 years ahead of the pirates is the toughest thing in the world, because these guys smell They'll copy anything. So that's why we come up with things. Well, that sounds pretty complex to me. Complex, folks. You cannot win the higher mutuals with yesterday's news. You've got to keep finding something that the public is not aware of. And the public has no notion of deceleration powers. In fact, 90% of our people who got the program free had no notion of their power. The only two who made something out of it and really made it click are Sam Wada and Bruce Jorgensen.
DC PARS and modeling with it. Let me give you a little bit, just a couple of examples with it, for example. The Derby. Churchill Downs, right? Now, we had the Breeders' Cup at Churchill Downs. And Howard, in one of the follow-ups, wrote what was a necessary TDP, which is, by the way, Howard, I didn't forget to give all those definitions. I don't know what the hell they are. I don't even know how to use it. That's why I didn't give them. Anyway.
Bill just got through saying that he's the third person who learned how to use them. He's doing great, but he wants to be included.
Okay.
So Bob Anfield also is a genius.
So anyway, Howard had said what the TDP, in the follow-up, what the TDP should be for Churchill Downs. Well, we in Seattle, like most of the folks on the West Coast, we couldn't get forms for Derby Day because of the riots going on in Los Angeles. And my buddy who I go to the track with, he had past performances for the horses in the Derby and, I don't know, one of his racing magazines. And Dave ran them that morning. There were only five horses that matched the profile for Churchill Downs. And AP Indy scratched, so that left four. We'd like to guess where those four horses ran? 1, 2, 3, 4. Just like, please pass the butter. And I didn't get to go to the track that day. Bill, who I go to the track with sometimes, he's from our area, he went. Lily T paid $90 in our mutual. Now, that's a good example of what T.D. Pars does. Tomorrow, I'm going to do some races. A day from Yakima. Yakima was the end of the season. It was the last day that I went to the track during the season in Yakima. The T.D. Par, or the D.C. Pars profile was down really solid. And I bet seven races that day. Won seven. Used the T.D. Pars. And Sam, I'm going to buy you a drink. You know, applying your method to in combination with mine that day at Yakima, it was one. It could make one horse bets out of all seven of those seven, putting the two together. It can be good. I think DC Pars is one of our waves of the future. I know Howard's going to develop it further. Howard and Jimmy, these guys, their thermation is absolutely beautiful. DC Pars is, if you'll work on it. DC Pars, I have to tell you, before we I show you, tell you a little bit about the things I model, DC Pars will do the same thing to you that any other program will, though, if you put a slow horse. Because, you know, a slow horse can have the right pattern, but he just doesn't get there fast enough. Okay, on my modeling, I model two, three things. First one, I do the type of the horse. Now, you know, I got to go back in history a little bit. All of you that model tracks, you've probably done this. You model the median, you model the factor X, you model the hidden, you model whatever, don't you? And I did that. And I liked to do my modeling, and it helped me, and I could get horses with it. I find my modeling is much, much tighter, multiple times tighter and easier to get my horses out of DC Pars than these old traditional forms of modeling. Now, one of the first things I did is I changed my median modeling. Let me show you.
No, leave it back.
Well, this is very simple, and it's just very, very simple. You know, when you model median,
like a 69, say you're running from 67, I'm going to make this very easy round figure, just for illustration. Your median is running 67 to 69.
Louder.
Okay.
Colonel?
No.
Test the troops louder.
Okay, to make this very simple and quick, your median is, say, running 67 to 69. Now, this would be your sustained type horses over here, would it not? This would be your early type horses over here, would it not? Okay. Well, and you take the average of that, and so you're looking for a horse with a 68. 68 horses aren't winning at my track. I'm having early horses win, if the bias is early. I'm having sustained horses win if the bias is sustained, aren't I? And so what I do is I go to my engine, and when I take my results, I take whether I had a sustained horse or an early horse, and I enter my DC par numbers. And then when I sort out my DC pars, I say for an early horse to win, he's going to have these type of DC pars for my model. For a sustained horse, he's got to have another set. And you find at some distances, you've got to do a split profile. Other distances, and whether they're four-year-old males or whatever, they'll all be sustained, or they'll all be pressers. And this varies. It takes a little bit of work and a little bit of ingenuity to figure out your profile. But the profile is there. Now, tomorrow in the manual, you will see my profile from Yakima. I take my profile, figures I enter for DC pars. I do not do this from the result chart. I repeat, for me, I do not do this from the result chart. I enter them from the line that I use to handicap the horse. Now, you can do them from the result chart if you want, and I'm sure it'll work. I just happen to be too lazy to go do the result chart. And besides, my paper does not give splits at all the tracks I play. So I don't have that to look up. So I do it from the line I use for the horse. And it's working great. Tomorrow, you will see my profiles for Yakima. We'll do four of the races, quick and dirty. We're not going to worry about pace line selection and this sort of thing. You'll just see my printouts. We'll apply it against my profiles, and my profiles are there, and you'll see how it works. And then we'll get a little fancy, and we'll put Sam's thing against it, and we'll show how it takes it down to one horse every time at that track. It's not doing that at Long Acres right now. Okay, that's all I'm going to do on the DC pars for tomorrow. For now, you'll see it far more graphic in the manual tomorrow and when we do it. Any questions at this time? Thank you.
I rose to a Tech 3, I think they call it. I never got to talk back to a colonel, so this is one thing I can dispute that the colonel said. The colonel made an inaccurate statement, but I think he was doing it just to go along with what he thought was the manifesto. You can put slow horses in DC pars and still get the winner. That's why they were invented, because despite the fact that Bradshaw's been saying, don't use slow horses, don't put in those bad horses, you can put bad horses into DC pars and it will still get the winner. It will weed out the bad horses. Why? The DC par part won't. The DC par part will make the slow horses look better, but the velocity part, when you average it with the deceleration, will throw out those slow horses. So that's the only thing I'd correct about your marvelous presentation, Bruce, and I'm sure you knew that. You just probably thought if you told the truth, we'd get mad at you, didn't you? Tell me that, Bruce. You can put slow horses in and won't get them, don't you?
I will not get them on the DTE section.
That's right. That's right. And on the velocity section. So when you use the SAM procedure with your procedure, it weeds out the slow horses. Now, I want Bob Enfield to stand up. We did him a great disservice. He showed me Rita stand up, Bob. Don't say anything. Just stand up. Can you stand up, Bob?
He left about 3 hours ago.
Yeah. Bob Enfield also had the ingenuity to take the DC cars and to make them work. And he's got a sheaf full of readouts. I'm sure he'd love to spend an hour with you. But we haven't made him a teacher yet. But one more box of cigars ought to do it, Bob. How many of you live in Florida? If you want somebody who will give you, who will help you in Florida, and I said this before, but you were kind of coming out of a rest period and didn't hear me. Bob Enfield is a teacher par excellence in Florida. But I want to tell you, he's a gruff, rough guy. You think that Tommy Renner's tough? Won't talk to you unless you do your work? Enfield will make you, if you don't have any self-esteem now, folks, don't go to Enfield, because whatever little you have left, he'll take away from you. But if you have a strong character and you can, and you want to win more than you want to be velvet gloved, if you live in Florida or anywhere down there, Bob's your man. He's an excellent, excellent winning handicapper. I said earlier, and I was kind of surprised at the response. We had, what, 3-4 hands? I said, and I'm surprised, that, Chuck, that you must know the answer to this. You have enough. What do you Lotus 1, 2, 3 and all. You must know what a slow. You know, yeah, so you should have raised your hand. Because, okay, that's 4 hands. He knows what a slow third fraction is by distance, by class at his track or any track that he works. He knows what a slow third fraction is, and he knows what an average third fraction is. Folks, if you know that, you're ahead of the game. If you don't know that, and you still want to be a winner, then you must believe in magic. You're dreaming. You've got to know ballpark figures on what third fractions will win depending on your profile, whether it's early or unearly or just average. If you don't know that, you haven't got a prayer. Then you really desperately need a computer program, and you put them in, and then you bury your head in the sand, and you peek, and run and bet them, and you probably will break even that way, but gee whiz. Now, some of you say, well, I got to put it through Lotus 1, 2, 3, or I got to put it through a complex program. That's fine, too. But I've known people, and how many of you are guilty of this? It's all right. My son is guilty of it as anybody else in his beginning. He puts these numbers through, and he sees what they are, and he has the slightest idea, what do I do with it? How many of you, I've got the numbers, but what do I do with it? Okay, let's start now. Let's back up. Let's go from phase 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and get down to the simplest and easiest way for you to know what a slow, average, and fast third fraction is at your track. Never mind all the other fractions, because if you know what the third fraction is, then you'll know where they have to be at the second call. So if you can't figure it out with a complex way, take the simplest, most direct route. And Tom Hamilton can tell you within a fraction of an inch where a horse has to be at any point in the race by knowing the first thing he does, same thing I do, when he gets up in the morning and after he brushes his teeth, is to take that racing form results chart from the races of the day before and to write down the third fraction. Tom, would you like to? He'll tell you the simple, down and dirty, easy way to do it. And anybody who, when we see you at the next seminar, if you haven't done this and you complain that you're losing, we've got a little problem. So pay attention here. This is the simplest way to do it, and you can get as complex as you want or as simple as you want. Tom, take this.
How many players are from Southern California?
Play.
A lot. Does anybody know what you need to have as a minimum final fraction in a race in Southern California?
Oh.
Ask him what distance.
Doesn't make a difference.
Make him work.
82.4. A sprint? Okay. How about a route? Huh? 70. Do I hear 71? What if you were looking at a horse that had an 85 final fraction in a race? Could he win a route? Can he win a route? 85? What would you say the minimum is in Southern California? Because that's all I can address. If I played someplace else, I can tell you about it, but I play mostly in Southern California. Since the beginning of Hollywood Park, most of the horses, by most, in routes, have had to be 85 or higher. Most is like 90%. Now, I was in Seattle all last week, and so my records aren't up to date. First thing I did Long Acres. I didn't do Hollywood Park. However, eight and a half furlongs. I'm looking down this whole page, and I've got 32 races in this particular sample. I see one, two, three, four. Four horses that have run less than an 85 final fraction. That's four out of 32. That's just a little bit over 10%. It's probably about 86%. That's the minimum. That's not the best. That's the minimum. What would you think the maximum? How about a stakes race? Let's go all the way to the other end of the scale. What would you think would be a very good final fraction? Anybody? Don't be bashful. This is on the dirt now. We're going to talk about dirt because it's going to be higher on the turf. 92. Who said 92? You get a gold star. That's very good, actually. How many of those do you think? I'll tell you, over 90 has only been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five times. So that's not much of a range, is it? From 85 to 92. That's 7.70 feet, 7/5 of a second, however you want to calculate that. That's the only difference between the very best and the low-level claimers. Low levels being as low as three-year-old filly maiden claimers, which are the slowest horses on the grounds, or actually two-year-olds, but they're just running 4.5 furlongs at this point. So that's not much of a range, is it? And guess what? It's like that at every racetrack. There's a range of good or minimum to good, to outstanding. What if you had a situation with a low-level claimer and a horse could achieve a 90 final fraction? That's outstanding. That's a stakes final fraction almost, 90-91. And that's why you have horses that win against the model, because they have one part of the races that's outstanding and they're hooked in a race where they can use that to their best advantage. Marion was talking about the race. The horse that has the one big run, remember that discussion a little earlier this evening? That's the situation that you should be able to recognize. If you're talking about final fractions, what about early pace? What kind of early is necessary? You have the same situation. Where does a horse have to be at the second call to win the race? Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about how to win. If you know that, do you think you have more information than 95% of the people at the racetrack? It's amazing. I mean, if you want to talk about a par or an average or a minimum, what do you think a minimum early would be? You can give it to me in early pace ratings or in time. Doesn't make any difference. They're interchangeable. Does anybody know, say, a route? Take a guess if you don't know for sure.